is the Sports Den with Denny Thompson and James Coleman on 1010XL.
It's Monday, man. I will tell you guys this. It was my first weekend, and I don't know how long that I didn't work. Like, I honestly don't know how long, RJ. Like, Angie and I were talking about this years. It's the first weekend that I went 2 days in a row without working. It felt kind of good, actually.
I remember you coming to me on Friday talking about, like, this is going to be the first time where I'm just able, like, to chill out.
It was good. I didn't chill at all, but it was good. It was good, man. And today's felt a little weird, but being a weekday, but yeah, day whatever it is of this whole coronavirus thing. I'm glad you guys joined us on a Monday night at the Sports Den. James will be in here shortly, I believe. Make sure you get by ABC. Fine Wine and Spirits are closed tonight, but they'll be open tomorrow. Stay stocked up during this time. Just keep it stocked. Always stocked with the best of the best from ABC. Go top shelf, man. I don't know what a good drink is. Probably, like, want to stick with something fairly soft. Like, you probably don't want to wake up shooting tequila. I don't know. Maybe you do. I'm not judging you. But, I don't know, maybe you're a better homeschool teacher with it in you. I don't know. Just make sure whatever you do, you go by ABC. They are the essentialist of the essentials at ABC Fine Wine and Spirits. I want to get into some draft talk tonight. Like, we've talked a lot about it, but does it seem, even though we've been talking about it since, like, November, doesn't it seem like it kind of snuck up on us all of a sudden? Because I guess our minds were somewhere else. And, bro, it's, what, 2 weeks from this Thursday?
Yeah, it's coming up pretty quick.
What can the Jags do that would shock you? Hit us up on the 1010XL text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Let us know. Like, give me something way out of right field. Just what is it that you can see coming that none of us see coming from the Jacksonville Jaguars on draft night, be it the first night, the second night, whatever it is. I mean, like, it would shock me if they packaged those two first-rounders and traded up. That would floor me. The only way they would do that is for a quarterback. But that would absolutely floor me. I don't think that's going to happen. I will tell you one thing. I will tell you guys one thing I think is going to happen. Well, it wouldn't surprise me if it happened, and it's not Jags-related, but it could end up being that way. What if Tua is sitting there at 9? What happens? Because the combination of the injury, and I know he's saying that he could play a game right now. Y'all don't really believe that, do you? The combination of the injury, and I've never been a big Tua guy. Now, with that being said, I'm around people all the time that work with Tua who have told me that he is special. Like, special off the field, meaning leadership characteristics, like, can't even chart them. They're so good. Instincts that are through the roof. And I have never talked to a single person that hasn't raved about Tua. But unlike high school and college, the NFL really ain't that concerned with your leadership characteristics. They're really not. Like, it's a plus. It's a bonus. College? Yeah, man. Big as a quarterback. Like, when they talk to you, if you're a quarterback listening, or you're a dad or a mom of a quarterback listening, when that coach comes up to you, he better see big eyes, bright eyes, look at him dead in the eyes, hand out to shake his hand firmly. And he, well, not right now. Y'all know what I mean. He better just, like, feel that energy, feel that leadership energy from the kid as they're recruiting him. That is a must in college football. In the NFL, not so much. It's really not. It is a bonus. But I almost think in the NFL, it's like one of those things where they almost expect, you know, you guys know what I'm talking about. Everybody that's listening knows what I talk about. You know that person that brings a certain type of energy to any situation where it just kind of brings the room up. I can give you situation after situation or example after example from my quarterback training business of that. That's what they want in college. In the NFL, that's really hard. Some guys have it. Some guys absolutely have that, and it's natural, and they can walk in as a 22-year-old on a rookie deal, and they can walk into a locker room with 30-year-olds who are making $15, $16, $17 million, and they can capture the attention of those guys. Most guys can't. It is a draftable quality, but it is not a necessary quality at the NFL. It's like a luxury. It's like that perfect car and on the outside, and it's got everything, and then leadership is like leather seats. Right? Unless you're really just looking like that's a deal breaker for you, you may still drive away with the car if it falls to you at the right price. Maybe Tua has all those traits, but I could completely see Tua falling down a little bit. And if you listen to the sports, and I've been consistent with that even before last football season. The two things that I said about this draft, one I was right on, two this is uncertain yet. One was Jake Fromm was not going to be a first rounder. He's not going to be a first rounder. There's people mocking him as the number one overall pick last March and last April. And I was like, you guys, man, y'all crazy. Y'all have been ABCing and chilling way too much. I told you then that wasn't going to happen, that the process wasn't going to like him. Tua, I've also said, look, he's going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be a high pick. I never thought he's going to be the number one pick. And I've recently said I don't think he'll be a top five pick. Like, I'm putting myself out there. Maybe I'm wrong on this, but it really is what I believe. I think that is the draft night nugget that I'm going to give you guys, that I think he falls. Will he be available at 9? I don't know. I don't. Maybe not. James, well, you good, man?
Yeah, I'll be good.
All right.
Well, let me ask this. If Tua is a guy you say that has all those qualities, and let's say, well, they are saying that he's fine, he could be ready to go, he could be ready to play. Let's say he gets a second opinion from whatever team drafts him. Let's say the Jags, and they're like, you know what? He may have to sit out one more year. We don't want to test it. Is Tua a guy that so can't miss that you would draft him and wait an extra season?
No.
Okay.
There's not a person in his draft that I would do that.
No. I don't. You know what? I'll just say it like this. If Tua's ready to go and he's there at 9, I probably still don't draft him. I'll put it that way.
I've said it before. I don't really necessarily know how I feel about Tua. Like, I mean, I think I said it, and maybe it was a little bit exaggerated, that he's never won a game that mattered. But he has, you know, obviously the national championship, he played a great half. But I think we've really valued that more than anything, more than what it really is. I mean, granted, it's great. But is that national championship the pediatrician?
Nick Foles.
Is that Nick Foles' Super Bowl? Is it great? I mean, he did a good job.
Let's talk about the facts here about Tua. He's been injured severely and been injured multiple times. Fact, right?
Right. Ankle, you know, obviously the hip.
Multiple ankles. Multiple surgeries on the ankles. The other fact about this is he's had maybe what looks like 5 or 6 first-round receivers to throw to.
Mm-hmm.
4 first-round offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Running backs everywhere.
Right.
Like, you cannot discount that.
He's had plenty of talent. Now, that being said, Joe Burrow probably has a team that's an NFL squad as far as talent goes that he's going to be coming out with. But they never achieved what they've achieved until this season.
Right, with him.
Yeah, with him. So, I mean, and when it came head-to-head, what I like to see is when you play up against not like-minded, but teams that are similar, what happened? When Tua went up against Georgia for a full game, like where they can scout you, like you're not some true freshman that we don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
Like that we didn't, because, I mean, people can say what they want. It was still ballsy by Saban. But nobody really scouts for the second team quarterback that's never played.
Especially in a national championship game.
Like you're thinking you're going to go up against the starter. You don't expect that to happen. But when they actually got film on you and were able to study you, you froze.
Yep.
On the main stage, and you had to be bailed out. That's what happened. I mean,
he may be fine.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's sorry.
Yeah, I don't look at him like I look at Trevor. I don't really look at anybody. Like, we got somebody on the text line, the Zomba Lifetime Enclosure, saying hearing a lot about Justin Herbert in the first, I want none of it. Bro, again, being consistent on this, the process, love Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert will go in the top 10. Forget the first round. He's going to go in the top. Justin Herbert is somebody that somebody will trade. He's 6'6". He's a 4'6 40. He can throw every ball in the yard. He is somebody that someone will jump up to take.
Right.
No doubt about Justin Herbert.
If I got an opportunity to suck next year, I'd rather those two guys coming out. That's just my opinion.
I mean, if I'm the Jags, I'm not taking either one. There's not a quarterback that could fall to me.
No, I'm saying
at
like,
9. But if I'm at 20,
well, I mean, yeah.
And Justin Herbert's still there.
Yeah, that's
not Jordan Love.
That's an Aaron Rodgers type thing.
Right.
Like Aaron Rodgers, people like we love Aaron Rodgers now.
Yep.
But had the process worked out for Aaron Rodgers, we probably wouldn't know who Aaron Rodgers is. He fell to the Green Bay, one of the best organizations you could fall to. With the Hall of Fame guy in front of him, that they also had some pretty good talent around. So he was able to learn. Like, if that happens, now granted, the Jags ain't nothing like Packers. The Packers, but that would be a situation.
And he sat for what, 3 years?
Yeah.
4 years?
Was it? It might have been. It was
3 or 4 years.
It was to the point where they were going to have to, like,
it was uncomfortable.
Figure out, are we going to re-sign Favre or are we going to move? Or are we going to move this guy?
Yep.
And I'm not saying we have anything close to that here, but at 20, the value is just so much better. You got to take it.
Yeah. No doubt. I want to get into that tonight. We're going to bring on Dr. Swanson next segment. But I want to get in tonight to what could happen in the draft that nobody's talking about. Like, I mean, 2 weeks away, Jags have 2 first-rounders. They've got a ton of draft picks. What do you guys think? Way out of right field, and be feasible here. They're not trading for a coach. Like, don't give me anything like that. That'd be dope.
That'd be cool.
Be amazing, actually.
I was actually hoping they would fire Tomlin. Like Mike here.
I'm down. But be somewhat realistic here and let us know what to be on the lookout for, what your big draft night projection is. We'll do that coming up next.
Southeast Orthopedic Specialist presents Dr. Chris Swanson on the Sports Den. A board-certified orthopedic surgeon specializing in sports medicine, Dr. Swanson has been assistant team physician for the Cincinnati Bengals and Drexel University men's basketball and is the current team physician for several area high schools. Visit se-ortho.com.
Every week, Dr. Swanson comes in to join us. Dr. Swanson, what's going on, my man?
I'm up. How you guys doing?
I'm good.
You guys still live in the studio?
We are. We're in the studio. Nobody else is really allowed in here, but we're here. We're working. We're plugging away, man. Trying to provide quality entertainment.
Good. We need that.
Yeah. Not sure how good we're doing at that, but how are things at Southeast? Tell us about the urgent ortho.
Yeah, so that's kind of our biggest thing that we've been sort of rolling out during this whole coronavirus issue is we're doing urgent care, orthopedic urgent care at our Southside clinics off Cape Parkway and our Fleming Island clinic out in Clay County. So basically, you know, if you have any kind of an orthopedic injury, you know, if you're doing running more than you used to and you hurt your knee or you twist your ankle and it's bothering you more than you can sort of handle on your own at home with ice and Advil and things like that, you don't need an appointment. You can just show up at either of those offices from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, and one of the orthopedic surgeons will be available to see you, even if you just sort of walk up. And so, you know, the hope is that, you know, while people are at home and, you know, even you see people, there's more people out running than I've ever seen on any day. It's crazy. People riding bikes, running, doing things, which is all safe and good. But you know, if you do hurt yourself, we want people to try to avoid the emergency rooms at the hospitals and the the other regular urgent care centers, because the people who are going to end up getting sick with the coronavirus or the regular flu or you know, anything else that requires more medical care, that way we can leave more spaces available for them. So,
and of course, you guys have a policy for the coronavirus, so when they come in, you guys are being as safe as possible as well, right?
Yeah, we have a ton of things in place to try to make, you know, each visit as safe as possible by, you know, extra cleaning throughout the day of all surfaces that anyone's touching and coming in contact with. Everyone's wearing masks. Everyone's wearing gloves. We're only having about 10 people or so in the waiting room at any time. You can check in online. You can wait in your car and somebody will get you as soon as your appointment's ready. So anything we can do to make the experience as safe as possible for everyone, from patients to our staff, we're taking all those necessary measures. And, you know, just trying to stay open, and we're kind of shrinking down from our five offices and open at one time. We're sort of shrinking kind of bit by bit, but trying to stay open for what people need from an orthopedic standpoint.
Hey, I'm on SI.com, and they have a column, and it says, "What does the coronavirus do to an athlete's body?" And the first half of it is all the stuff we've been talking about how you come back for a season after not being able to train. But then the second half talks about, for the 14% of those aged 20 to 44 that reach even the moderate stage, which is what requires hospitalization and oxygen but not a ventilator, they're talking about the respiratory distress syndrome and things like that, of what it could do, the consequences it could have on an athletic career. We have not talked about that. These athletes that have gotten this, we haven't really heard of a current athlete, I don't think, who's had to be hospitalized yet, have we? I haven't. Like, Rudy Gobert and all them didn't have to be hospitalized.
Nah, they just found out they had it and then they quarantined them.
Yeah. Most of all of the, I think every athlete we've heard of has really been a professional athlete. At least it's been in the news, and they've all kind of been relatively asymptomatic and been just treated with rest at home, with sort of normal home remedies.
Yeah, it talks about, they quote a doctor from California who says, "It's far too early in the virus's trajectory to determine whether there's risk for lasting structural damage and reduced lung function." He adds that comparable afflictions typically do not have lasting impacts on lung capacity or structure. But then they go in to talk about if there's an athlete placed on a ventilator, that could require actually physical therapy to rebuild muscles that support the lungs.
Yeah, and that, I mean, again, that then you're getting into an extreme case, right? So if you're being placed on a ventilator, you're at the severe end of the spectrum, and the medical recovery after that is significant. So then you're talking about, you know, therapy that's not sort of designed at regaining your ability to walk and run and building up the strength in your legs. You're looking at trying to get back to breathing normally. So you're truly taking baby steps if you're at that point. But if you're at the point where you're on a ventilator, you know, the number one thing at that point is survival, really. Getting back to sports would be way down on the other end of the spectrum.
There's two things in this article that kind of stick out to me. One, they estimate that 40% of players on most rosters are coping with an injury at any given time. 40%.
I think I'd bump it up higher.
I would. Yeah, I mean,
you got to think injury. You've coached. This is the famous coach thing. Are you injured or are you hurt?
You think they're just talking about football? I don't know.
I think you go in many sports. Like, you'll tweak a hammy here. You'll have
basketball. Like, you tweak your ankle. You tweak your groin. I mean,
my perfect example right here, Doc. If you went to a random volleyball team, and y'all did an MRI on everybody's shoulder, how many torn labrums do you think would be in there? The people that didn't even know.
Probably 40%, right?
Yeah. So it's just so much. You don't. A lot of times you don't even know. You just know, oh, it hurts, but you can press through it? Are your pain tolerance is high enough? I mean, it's.
But that's the, you know, that's, so James Andrews, the famous orthopedic surgeon who treats all the pro athletes, you know, he always said, if you want to operate on a shoulder, just get an MRI. And for the reason that you just said, I mean, it's going to show in any kind of sort of competitive athlete getting into their 20s, 30s. I mean, you're going to find something wrong on an MRI. Most people, it either just bothers them a tiny bit or maybe even not at all. But if you start looking at it with a fine-tooth comb like an MRI, you're going to find something.
There's a second thing that they talk about it that I actually experienced. I'm going to talk about a little bit later in the show. I experienced this last week that actually helped one of my quarterbacks. Surgeries have been pushed back. So there are surgeries that were supposed to happen now that have been pushed back indefinitely. They don't really have a time frame. So just about, I would imagine, just about every college and pro football team, maybe not pro, but college football team, probably on some level are dealing with this with the surgery that's supposed to happen in March or April that's not going to happen until July now.
Yeah, correct. I mean, I think with the postponement of all the elective surgeries, every level from professional on down through high school, middle school, I mean, a lot of those surgeries that might even be urgent but aren't emergent are getting pushed out, and things that you normally would take care of in the springtime are going to trickle into the summer, which means that potentially they trickle into the fall as well. And that's just part of what's going on right now. Again, back to James Andrews, he said, you know, no more elective surgeries. He's in Pensacola, Florida. And so when Governor DeSantis came out with that, he stopped doing all the professional athletes.
Wow. Wow, he's got his own surgery center too, right?
Yeah, they have a big facility out there that they own in Gulfport.
So why do they do that? Because of equipment and, like, protective masks and, like, just the need for all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think primarily it's the sort of the preservation of all that protective equipment and not using it and saving it in the event of, you know, real emergency. If we really start running out of stuff, then at some point it'll be all hands on deck and anything that's available to try to accumulate as much of that protective equipment as possible. You know, hopefully it doesn't get to that point and the hospitals have enough means to provide. But no one really knows still kind of where this is completely headed.
Let me give you guys a couple examples that they cite in this article. It's actually a good article. You should go check it out, Doc. After the 2011 NFL lockout that kept players away from team medical personnel and strength and conditioning coaches for 4 months. So they weren't even away from gyms. They were just away from the team's personnel. Achilles tendon tears leapt from an average of 8 per season to 12 in the preseason alone. In 2012, after NBA lockout, in 2011, ACL tears were much higher, including guys like Derrick Rose, Ricky Rubio, and Baron Davis. 9 players tore ACLs in the 2 years after the lockout, a figure that dropped to an average a little more than 2 per year in subsequent seasons.
I mean, I think a lot of that has to do with the intensity in which you play. And, like, so when a lockout happens, you miss out on a lot of things. A lot of the OTA, like, so a lot of stuff that people really hate or complain about are necessary evils, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd rather have an OTA in, what was it, May, June, and than not have them. Maybe not full padded, but at least we're going around and I'm moving and I'm not stationary. I think the biggest thing is when people are stationary and then they go to full speed. I think that would make sense about Achilles and things, like at least soft tissue things, right, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. And I mean, I think that's why when we're talking about this from sports, which is obviously, you know, this is obviously a sports show, but it's kind of just a small portion of the whole big problem. But from a sports standpoint, it's why even when it's safe to go back to playing sports, whether it's professional, collegiate, high school, you can't just flip the switch and go back out there and start playing games again, you know, at an elite level. Like, it's going to take, it's already been, you know, we're coming up on almost a month or so now. You know, it takes time to get back into game shape so that you can do it safely and not have that huge increase in soft tissue type of injuries. And so there's the NBA's testing, you know, is bouncing around the idea of these rapid test options where you can find out in, you know, 10 or 15 minutes if you're positive or not. And I think, you know, ultimately they'd probably try to test every player in the league and then maybe start playing games without fans. But still, even if they were able to get this test and test every single player in the NBA, which with 15 guys on a team isn't a huge amount, you know, 500 guys, and half the teams have probably already tested. Still, you can't just say, okay, guys, you know, no one in the league is positive right now. You know, let's start playing playoff games. Like, it's going to take a few weeks, maybe a month, maybe 6 weeks, you know, almost like a training camp again, before you can get back to playing at that level without increasing the risk of those soft tissue
injuries. That's the weird thing about this testing too, man, is, okay, they go test everybody one time. They got to do it like every week, right?
That's the
problem. Right. I mean, so that's the thing. We're, and again, that's exactly right. So unless you're kind of continued in a quarantine type of state, you're on the risk of being exposed sort of anytime you're out. And so probably things aren't going to get really back to normal until there's rapid tests that are readily available so we can figure out within a matter of minutes, you know, are people getting on planes that are positive or negative, that kind of thing.
Doc, tell us one more time about the urgent ortho walk-in clinics that you guys are doing at Southeast Orthopedic Specialists, and then we'll let you get back to your night.
Good deal. So, yeah, the orthopedic urgent care clinics are at our two of our locations, Southside location off Gate Parkway and Fleming Island. And any musculoskeletal, any soft tissue, any orthopedic-based injury, you don't need an appointment. You can certainly call and make an appointment, but if you just need to come in and get seen, you can show up at either of those offices between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. One of our orthopedic surgeons will be available to evaluate you. We have on-site x-ray, MRI, bracing, casting. If it requires any of those type of things, you can get that at the same time. And so please, if you do get hurt, while you're being safe and staying at home, check out our website, se-ortho.com, or give our office a call, and you can find out more information on how to get evaluated quickly.
Awesome, Doc. Stay safe, my man, and we will talk to you next week.
You too, guys. Take care.
All right, thanks. Dr. Chris Swanson from Southeast Orthopedic Specialists joins us every Monday night to kind of talk about sports and injuries. We're going to come back. We're going to get right back on Draft Talk. We'll do that coming up next.
XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
It's the Sports Den. Denny Thompson, James Coleman, RJ Saunders. I guess JJ's just love y'all.
He's in the big leagues, man.
Yeah. Yep. Brought to you by thehumidor.com. Make sure you get to thehumidor.com for all of your cigar needs, especially right now. Go to thehumidor.com. Order as much as you want. Already low prices, already huge selection. And then you type in Sports Den, all lowercase, all one word, when you check out, and you get 20% off plus free shipping on thehumidor.com. They've got the, on ESPN right now, one of the classic games they're playing is the Falcons-Saints, the first game back in the Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. And I'm a Saints fan. I remember being dialed in that. You said you were, that was the year you were with the Saints?
Mm-hmm.
So you were there. But one of the things that they just put up that just made me go, wow, how much of time has times changed? This is just 06.
Right.
You know what Drew Brees' deal was that he just signed?
Like $2-3 million?
Oh, no, it was more than that.
I mean, I don't
6 years, $60 million.
Oh, that sounds like a lot.
It's 10 mil a year. Now they're getting 35. 14 years.
He would scoff at that. No?
Oh, now, I mean, dang, backups are making more than that. Teddy Bridgewater just got a lot more than that. CBSSports.com had a mock draft today. I think y'all will find this interesting. Now, I'll tell you why I almost didn't click on this. Or almost didn't read it. Among the experts that took part in Monday's mock draft included ex-NFL players Brady Quinn, Bryant McFadden, NFL executive Scott Pioli, NFL insiders Jonathan Jones, Eric Casuelas, Pete Prisco, Will Brinson, John Breach, but I left one name out. Danny Cannell. I don't listen to anything that Danny Cannell says.
What?
Nothing. Don't like the dude at all. Not one bit. I think he may be the worst sports media personality there is.
Him and Clay Travis serve a purpose.
Yeah.
Every now and then you'll find yourself just agreeing with him. Like today I was – Clay was on a roll today.
Clay was? I don't even know who Clay Travis is, really.
He's a troll. He's a white Jason Whitlock.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen to this mock draft.
Which kind of is oxymoron, but
Bengals and Redskins taking Burrow and Young. Okay. So I think that's a given at this
point. Okay.
Chargers taking Tua at 3.
Okay.
Justin Herbert going 4 to the Jags. The Jags trading up with the Giants to take Justin Herbert.
If they do that, man, I'll be so upset.
And Jordan Love going 5. So 4 quarterbacks in the top 5. CBSSports.com must be just willingly handing out crack.
Like candy. Or meth.
What's the difference?
I think, thought process. I think nationality just depends. Okay. Like, meth seems like it's more newsworthy now. But bottom line is they're doing something to alter minds.
Yes.
Because Burrow, that makes Young, absolutely no sense.
Tua, Jags trading up to get Herbert, and then Jordan Love going 5th.
Like, we trade up. That means we're packaging it's 9 and 20?
No, they have us taking at 20. It goes on that 6 would be Jeff Okuda. If Jordan Love goes before Jeff Okuda, then the whole landscape of football is messed up. Derrick Brown going 7 to the Panthers. Okay. Tristan Wirfs going 8. The Giants with the pick we traded taking Mekhi Becton from Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns taking Isaiah Simmons at 10. Andrew Thomas, Henry
Ruggs.
Wow, that makes
them really – oh, wow. That's a good pick for them.
Who, the Browns?
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs to the Raiders. CeeDee Lamb to the Eagles.
Ooh.
Jerry Jeudy to the Jets.
Poor Jerry.
Y'all made fun of me about Sam Darnold, but I'm telling you, man, dude's going to be okay.
I mean, I'm just talking about the Jets in general.
No, that's true. Christian Fulton, who I've seen people saying can drop to the 2nd round, at 16 to the Falcons. C.J. Henderson to the Cowboys at 17.
That's good for him.
Josh Jones, offensive tackle from Houston to the Dolphins. Trevon Diggs, corner from Alabama. And with 20, the Jags have this nugget fall to him at 20, Javon Kinlaw.
That's why I said we haven't said his name. In my mock, he went number 3. He went 3rd.
Well, that's just crazy.
Which I said myself. Yeah. Kind of messed me up as Dave Caldwell. Because him and Brown were both gone.
They have Justin Jefferson going the 49ers at 21. Man. I mean, if you put 4 quarterbacks in the top 5, you're going to have some people fall.
Mm-hmm. But you know this is going to happen. Something's going to happen. Hopefully we're not the dummy. But somebody's got to be that because to help the Jaguars from themselves. I mean, think. If the Raiders don't do something interesting last year, we probably don't get good Josh.
Right.
Allen.
Right. Right. I could stomach, I wouldn't like it, but I could stomach the Jags taking Justin Herbert at 9. I wouldn't like it, though. Because I think they'd need too much help. But if they trade up to 4, then just – at the press conference, fire Dave Caldwell. We'd like to introduce Justin Herbert, and we'd also like to say goodbye to Dave Caldwell. Justin Herbert's now on the trade block. There's no way you can do that again. That's what you did with Blake, right?
Yeah. No. We didn't do that with Blake.
Didn't we trade up for Blake?
No, we traded up for Blaine.
Oh.
You know how I remember that? It was my first ever 10-10 XL draft party. It was the Tilted Kilt, which is now Cohen's now, right?
Right.
So we were there, and Blue was like, hey, man, come out, hang out. Listen, you stay until the Jags draft, so it should be a good time.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they're like, oh, wait a minute. And you put in who you thought the Jags were going, like your tables were there. And I'm sitting here, it's the 10th pick. The Jags traded up. Who do you think they get? You want to know who guessed right?
Who?
Not a person
Not
in there.
Not one single.
Nobody saw us drafting up to get him. But that was the year Ponder. Everybody, like, that messed up the whole draft. Like, guys who shouldn't have been drafted early got drafted early.
You don't hear the top five from the draft that Blake Bortles was drafted in?
Who?
Jadeveon Clowney.
Pretty good.
Greg Robinson. Okay. Blake Bortles. Yeah. Sammy Watkins. And good. Khalil Mack.
I'll get three solid.
Everybody was talking about Khalil Mack, too, that year.
No, I'm saying, yeah, I saw Khalil Mack. He trained with Tom Shaw.
Oh, okay.
I went down there to go visit Tom and get some good mentorship, learn some stuff. And he's over there talking to me and Lonnie Martz, and Kelvin Benjamin was over there, a bunch of other guys. I'm chopping it up with the Florida State guys. And then there's this like, dark. He might not be this dark. It just looked like it was really sunny that day. But dark as these computers,
mm-hmm.
like, look like he's chiseled out of, like, granite, though. And just over there working with one person. Everybody else is working in a group. All these big names. He's got his own person to the side. And he's like, yeah, that guy's going to be it. And I was like, where'd he go to school? He went to Buffalo. I'm like, the Buffalo? I was like, but he looks like that. He's like, hey, just go watch. He's like, go watch one film. Watch him versus Ohio State. And then you'll know everything you need to know.
Boy, talk about a terrible draft for quarterbacks. There were three first-round picks that year. Blake, Johnny Manziel, and Teddy Bridgewater.
Well, and one remains.
Two pretty good second-round picks. Derek Carr and Jimmy Garoppolo. The rest of the quarterbacks, you ready for this? Goodness gracious. Logan Thomas, Tom Savage, Aaron Murray, A.J. McCarron, Zach Mettenberger, David Falls, Keith Winning, Taj Boyd, Garrett Gilbert. Could that be the worst quarterback draft in the history of quarterback drafts? Thank God for Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Anybody give me a college for Jimmy G?
West Coast guy. Fresno State.
Eastern Illinois.
And they knew to draft him in the second?
The Fighting Panthers. Yep. Dino Babers was their head coach. I thought Logan Thomas was going to be pretty good. Big old dude from Virginia Tech. You remember him? You remember Logan Thomas? The big quarterback from Va Tech? I actually thought he was going to be a good player, but I was wrong. It's completely wrong. But anyway, back to this year's draft. If it goes down like CBS Sports, and I understand CBS Sports got to get clicks, right? I get that. And we're talking about it right now. But there's not a situation in the world where four of the top five players are quarterbacks that are taken. Not this year. I mean, next year, maybe the first two. I'm going to say there will be two taken in the top five. One will not be Tua. I think Burrow and Herbert will be in the top five. But Bengals, Chargers, Jags, Dolphins. Dolphins ended up with Jordan Love.
That'd be a very Dolphins pick. They deserve that.
They deserve Jordan Love?
Mm-hmm.
You don't like the Dolphins?
No, it's just they make a lot of dumb decisions.
Who's the worst franchise, Miami or Jacksonville? Who's the worst Florida franchise? I mean, Tampa gets a pass now if they got Brady, right?
Yeah, it's going to pass because they won a Super Bowl recently.
Recently?
Listen, 2002 is way more recent than what, 73? When was the undefeated season? That might have been two. It had to be 79 or something like that, right?
Well, okay. Just right now, what's the worst franchise? What's the most dysfunctional franchise of the three? I mean, it's a competition.
I know Tampa. To me, right now, Tampa's one.
Tampa's the best of the three?
Yeah, and that's not by a lot.
No, no. And there's a big asterisk by that on how this Brady situation turns out.
I gotta go. Miami is the worst.
I kind of agree with you.
It's tough, man. I'm sorry. I'm
because
not
the Jags did go to the AFC Championship 2 years ago. It was a fluke or not, they went.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, the Dolphins, I know it's Miami, and y'all are going to hit me with this. You know, there's a lot to do in Miami. They still get like 30 people at the game.
And then Miami comes up with like this grandiose thing of, we have a plan, we know what we're going to do, and here we are now not knowing what the plan is. But I feel like it's been the same in Jacksonville for a while. I think you had the 2017 season, and you thought, okay, we have a roadmap. But now it's kind of like, well, what are we doing? Are we – rebuilding? Are we trying to win? What is it?
It's almost like players are just coming down to Florida for the lifestyle and not to play football.
Yeah. Get that last check, man.
Don't pay state taxes. It's sunny. There's beaches in all three places. It's almost like that's what's happening. Imagine that. I never really thought about the dysfunction in the state. Boy, thank God for the Florida Gators right now. State would be miserable in football.
Man, that's the standard? They are the best. Man, we have really fallen off.
Yes.
Scraping the bottom of the barrel here.
Yes. Yes, we have. Remember when the Jags first got here, like that 96, 97, 98, 99? It's like that was when Florida State and Florida were making all their runs. Like, it was like you just couldn't lose in the state of Florida or around here. It's like you dominate on Saturdays, you go to the game, they dominate on Sundays. It was a simpler time, James.
Has there ever been a time where either one of you guys have tried to pinpoint a reason where it all went downhill? Because it seems like when the team got here initially, it was like, okay, this is a pretty good team. Like, I think the NFL made the right decision by bringing a franchise to Jacksonville, and now all of a sudden it's kind of like, we're one of the laughing stocks of the entire league. Like, have you been able to ever pinpoint?
Yeah, it comes down to two things. Just like every NFL team. Head coach, quarterback. Coughlin was, whatever you want to think about Coughlin was one of the best head coaches in the NFL at that time. And he was exactly what a new franchise needed. And then they struck gold with the way Brunell played. And people can go look at Brunell's stats and go, well, also, y'all, it's a different time.
Not just that. Keenan I love Keenan.
Keenan Jimmy.
I love Keenan and I love Jimmy. I want to make sure I preface that. But let's not pretend like they were all pros when they were coming here and that people just right. knew that they were going to, like, be
especially
that
Jimmy.
Deal. Yeah. So, I mean, that's that. I mean, Fred T was obviously a slam
Tony.
Dunk. Tony was a slam
Brackens,
dunk.
Hardy. Like, yeah. They drafted well, and I think.
But each time they burst, though, when the salary cap got them. So,
but that wasn't until, like, '01. They got by for a while.
Really?
Yeah. They got by for a good while. It wasn't until, really, that expansion draft with Houston, when they came back, that I was reading something from Dom. Florida State fans are so bitter. That really it all fell apart. But I do think it's that easy. I think it's that simple. If you can go back quarterback and coach and kind of look at – I mean, like we said before, Del Rio wasn't the worst coach, but after coming off of Coughlin and coming off the success the franchise had early, people were ready to get rid of him quick. Dom Texas said, thank God we had the fifth best team in the SEC, so we have something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm. Are you on the fifth best
team? No, we're not the fifth best team.
Who's Georgia, Alabama, LSU. Okay,
this year?
Fourth.
Man.
Y'all lost to Georgia.
This year,
LSU.
This year will be better than LSU.
Oh, okay. I'm talking. We got to worry about that when we get there. I'm just talking about Dom's using last year.
Yeah, it's terrible that we're a top 10 team in the country, Dom.
No, but
it's awful.
But I'm just,
it's such a hard life.
Saying, though, like, is he – but he's wrong about the fifth best team, fourth. But, like, it's –
But see, that's the old thing where somebody phrases something one way instead of the other way, because I'm also right when I say we're one of the top eight teams in the country.
Right. You are. You're not wrong about that.
Yeah.
Both of you guys are right. It's just
– no, Dom's being negative, Nancy. He's not right.
And neither – which, but what Dom's point, I think, is you are the 10th, but none of us are anywhere close to last year to getting hardware. This year coming up, you are going to be closer. I agree.
I'm gonna let y'all just. I'm gonna let
if we like, if play. I'm hoping we have a season so that we can see this happen.
Y'all ready for 8 o'clock?
Yeah.
All right, 8 o'clock coming up next.
You mad, bro?
1010XL, 92.5 FM. Join us in the sports den. Call or text 641-1010.
Open up your heart and let that hate out.
8 o'clock brought to you every night by Loose Air Quality. LuceAirQuality.com. Environmental testing for your home or your business, commercial, residential, whatever you got, property management. Maybe you're buying a new home. A lot of people buy new homes right now, like mortgage professionals going crazy right now. That business is good. If you're going to buy a new home, you probably want to get the air tested first. You don't want to go buy a home that's got mold in it. Probably a good idea to give Loose Air Quality a call at 904-803-1014. If you're a realtor, won't you just go ahead and put them on speed dial? They still have speed dial?
Yeah. Well, now if you have your smartphone, you just go in and
you just say it.
Yeah.
Remember when you used to just hold down one? Yeah. Hold down. 904-803-1014, Loose Air Quality. Mold investigations, water damage, fire investigations. They do it all right there. Loose Air Quality, local. They'll get you taken care of. You got a hate o'clock?
More just not really a hate of anything, just my luck.
Okay.
You know, got to laugh at my pain a little bit, but.
Are you suggesting you have bad luck?
Well, yeah.
You're on a run?
Yeah, just today. I mean, I've been really wanting Chinese food. So if you're on the Facebook Live, you see it. Like, it's delicious, actually. I'm grateful for it. But I've been avoiding it for like 3 weeks. No reason. It had nothing to do with any of this. It's just I tried to get some on Friday, but the one that's right around the corner was closed.
Okay.
So I went to left the house early, figured I'd go to the one by the house, you know, where mm-hmm. we close to us. It's great. They're open. I was happy. I was excited. I'm like,
they're always open.
I was like, yeah, they don't ever. I'm like, man, I'm about to eat some really, really good Chinese food.
Christmas Day?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, I'm excited about this.
Hurricane ripping through?
My hurricane cash only, though.
Yes.
That one. But my mouth is watering. I'm like, yes, I'm about to go get me some Chinese food. I'm about to eat this. I can't wait. Two egg roll guy headed to the station. Get a FaceTime. Hey, you got to come home. But in my mind, I'm thinking, this is just, I'm too happy right now. I'm just entirely too happy.
Something's got to be something's, wrong.
The
weather's
this,
nice. Yeah, you got the windows down.
It's not. This can't be possible.
What are you trying to tell me, Lord?
Fitz, hey, you got to come to the house right now. Grandma's down. We got to go. We got to do something with it. I'm like, huh? And I'm thinking, I got this hot, delicious Chinese food right here. I had a plan. I was going to the room. I wasn't even going to go where the rations are limited right now in our break room. I was going to the conference room. I was going to stretch out and really embrace this and not have to rush between breaks to eat. Mm. And I'm like, man, I'm thinking like, I just saw her. This can't be that bad. And then, you know, like I said, then it took me, you know, it took a long. But I was just like, man, had I not gotten that Chinese food.
So did you get, so that Chinese food is from 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Or did you circle back around after?
No, this isn't a 8 o'clock too, this is an observation. I'm really glad I live in a nice neighborhood.
Okay.
Because I've called 911. I've had 911 call before growing up. Never been at, this is the swiftest 911 call I've ever seen.
Oh, y'all had to call 911.
Yeah, she had to go to ambulance. So I'm 7:00. I get the call 7:01. Right? So I get my food 7:02. Mm-hmm. I open the door. 7:03. See the ambulance in the fire truck. And I'm like, I wonder if that's going to the same place I'm going. Driving, lo and behold, it was. I've never seen an ambulance go to a neighborhood that fast. I mean, great. I'm very grateful. They were very nice. They all had a mask. They were very kind. Did their job very, very good. Wish I could have got them all Starbucks gift cards, but it was. That was my part. But
well, next time you text me, like, that is a perfectly acceptable reason and reasonable reason to be late. But next time you text me, hey, I'm gonna be late. Just give me like I'm gonna be. I'm coming in here like.
I didn't know.
I don't know if he's talking 5 minutes. I don't
give
know.
Give us an idea.
Am I going to get a text at 9:40? My bad, dog. I couldn't make it. Like, I didn't know anything going on.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You've done the show by yourself. It's a different kind of prep. You actually got a prep.
Right. Yeah, I didn't. Like, dude, I was inside. I was upset at first. Then I thought about it. Don't be a jerk. Like, you gotta go be that person, and like, hopefully everything will be great. But it was but I didn't know how long. I was really thinking I'm texting you I'm gonna be late, thinking that like, oh, I'm gonna tell him like in like 10 to 15 minutes. I'm not, but with the but when I saw the I text you before, actually probably while I was walking out of the Chinese food restaurant into my truck, but then I seen the ambulance and the fire truck, so I'm thinking like, okay, that might be us. But it might not be. Let me see. Then I'm there. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I might be on time now. But then
I can't call you.
Well, yeah.
Because you don't have a phone. Yeah. This is a whole different thing.
Which is awesome.
You're enjoying it?
Yeah. It's like, this is 2 weeks now. Wait a minute. Yeah. It'll be 2 weeks Wednesday? It's been a while. I know that much. It's very enjoyable. Like, my sister was like, I'm going to send you my phone. And I'm like, you're trying to mess up a good thing here. Because I like that the only people who can get in contact with me know how to get in contact with me.
I don't have a hate o'clock either, but I have this kind of cool thing that happened. I don't know if it's cool. I don't really know what to think about it. Friday night? Yes, Friday night, when we were here, there was a situation at a college where they brought they signed a quarterback, and the kid has to have, like, some procedure done, and it can't get done now. So they were going to sign another one. And so they called me, and they signed one of my kids that I've trained for a while from Nashville. Good player, great player. So I was happy for him. I think I even told you that on Friday, didn't I?
Yeah, he told me he was committed.
Right. So he committed Friday night. While we were here.
And I asked you a very important question.
Which was?
Is that committed?
Yes.
Why didn't he just sign?
Right. Well, okay. Well, he has to be released from another NLI.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that I'm going home. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. This is good. Because this was there's one every year that's just stressful. And you can't figure out why they're not getting bigger offers. This was that one for me this year. And so now he's playing Division I, Group of 5 ball, Bowling Green. So I'm like, dope, awesome. So then I get home, sit down, turn on Ozarks, which is another conversation for another day.
It's good.
This season. Right. I like it, but this season's kind of anyway. –
You're in season 3?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So sit down, and then I look at my phone, and I see I've got a missed call from a local quarterback that I trained, Ja'Cory Jordan from Trinity. And so I texted him. I said, hey, man, didn't see your call. What's up? He said, oh, was going to call and get your opinion on committing, but I just did. I said, oh. I'm like, sweet. One night, two kids. It doesn't get any better than this. So I texted him, and I said, where'd you commit to? The same school. Now, here's the most important part of this conversation.
Awkward.
They're two different years. So the one kid's a 2020, Ja'Cory's a 2021.
Which isn't that much difference, right?
So now Bowling Green's coach is calling me, and he's fired up. Like, he is like, you got to be kidding me. This is like our best day ever. We got two of our quarterbacks, like, same night. Ja'Cory was their first, like, commit for that class, and he was, like, they wanted Ja'Cory really bad. the whole time. I don't know whether to be happy or like. So I finally just have to call both of them. I'm like, look, this will never happen again to me to have two kids commit to the same school on the same night.
The odds, pretty high, pretty low.
Pretty low, right? I'm like, so I just want to let y'all know y'all both committed, and they were both cool. All right, cool. We'll room together. Like, cool. We're a class apart. Whatever. But, I mean, seriously, what are the odds of that?
Oh, slim and none.
Right?
It's hard to get two kids that aren't the same position to commit on the same night to the same school.
Right. Division One. The coach calls me. He's all happy. And in the back of my mind, all I'm thinking is, wait a second. Wait a second. Why didn't you call me before?
That's what I was thinking you were going to tell them.
I didn't. Like, I decided to embrace the happiness of the whole crew because everybody was happy. It's not my life. I mean, that's what we train these kids for, right?
Like, let's really talk about your options. And what, because here's my problem with it. And it's not a problem because you got to compete. No matter what, you got to compete. You got to put your, this isn't just going to your dream school anymore. This is a job. Mm-hmm. It's about putting yourself in the best position to be able to get as much on your resume, on your playing resume, so that you have an opportunity to potentially play on the next level.
Both these kids 6'5".
No, I mean that's like, fine.
No, that's what I'm saying. No, yeah. You're right. I'm making your point for you. They if they continue to develop, they both have a potential to continue their playing career.
I get the one. You failed forward.
Right.
Not really failed, but just, you know, right. you
it
moved
worked
up.
Out for you.
The other, like, there's, I get it. Like, they have so many in each class, but
bro,
you can.
It's different right now.
You can wait, in my opinion.
It is so different right now in this environment we're in.
Like, is it more pro player?
No.
That's what, okay.
No. No, it is. Most schools are not accepting commits right now at the quarterback position. They don't know what they have. They don't know if they're playing a season. They don't know anything.
I'm back. I hate to detract from this because it's a completely different hair clock. One, I love that. I'm slightly offended watching this film.
Watching, tell people.
This Monday Night Football film. It's an NFL film from 2006.
Right.
Because 2006 wasn't that long ago.
It was 14 years ago.
And I feel like how I felt when I was in high school watching the old NFL films replays. On ESPN, like...
Are you talking about, like, quality?
Yeah, like, when was this recorded? I'm thinking in my head, like, when was this recorded? How old is this?
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute.
And then you see Vic out there.
I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, God.
Wait, what year
old?
Did Vic go down?
It had to be, like, right after this.
It had to be, right?
They were investigating... going into the draft, they were investigating my teammate Cam, who actually sold dogs, pit bulls. When we were in college, it was crazy. Like, it was a crazy, crazy investment that he made, like, with his money his freshman year. And then he decided to breed her. And, like, his pit and made him a good amount of money in college.
I'm looking this up.
Yeah. So Vic's career came to a halt in 2007.
So, right after this. Okay.
After he pleaded guilty for his involvement, yada, yada, yada.
Okay. Because I'd forgotten that he was the quarterback on this team. For this
you
want to
know something that's really odd? People still ripping Mike Vick. But America just fell in love with Tiger King. And I don't see any, like, anything. Like, I see people mad, but, like, it ain't no petition this and blah, blah, that. And
when you say America, I have not. Do not put me in that.
It's a lot of people, dog.
It's a lot know. Of it's all over the place. Have you watched it, RJ?
There is so popular that Netflix has given them money to make another episode. Just one more episode. There's going to be a second season.
Another, just one more episode?
They're making one more episode of Tiger King that they're going to put out. He's got corona.
Who, the tiger?
The Tiger King.
Because I saw a tiger in...
The tiger in Bronx Zoo got corona. But no, the guy is actually in quarantine in jail right now.
Dom hit us up on the text line to some lifetime enclosures. 8 o'clock on the Sports Den. We're not mad about anything. If we're not. Well, you want us to make up anger?
I'm mad I didn't get a chance to eat my Chinese food when it was hot. Does that make you feel better, Dom? Is that what you were looking for?
Eifert's dad, why did one of the local news stations do a 2-minute special on the Jags possibly being interested in drafting tight end Cole Kmet? I mean, I would love to have another tight end on this team from Notre Dame, but are they really interested in him? I have no idea. That would be some Jags stuff. What if the Jags traded up for Justin Herbert and then drafted freaking Cole Kmet with number 20?
Well, wasn't that kind of the rumblings at first, like when the first mock drafts came out, that we were going to get Cole Kmet at tight end at 20?
You can get him in the second or third round.
A guy with a season's worth of stats in his career?
No, I understand what you're saying, but at first I think it was going to be Derrick Brown and then Cole Kmet.
But that was before we signed the All-American right. Tyler Eifert. Right. First ballot Hall of Famer.
Well, he's definitely Ring of Honor.
Now. And then he goes, by the way, y'all need Sports Den t-shirts. I'd definitely wear one. We've been talking about that for like 4 years.
Yeah. I was going to buy him, but then the drought hit.
962, what's the deal with this kid, James Morgan from FIU? Just started to really hear the name because Patriots are said to like him. He also says, I would take Jalen Hurts over Herbert or Love. No questions asked. I would take Jalen Hurts over Love, not over Herbert. Herbert's got like real talent, like ridiculous talent. I don't know. You know what my problem with this quarterback draft is? I'm so in love with next year's quarterback class. That's my problem with – but although, I mean, Arizona showed us you can do it twice in back-to-back years. The James Morgan kid, I mean, fifth, sixth-round guy. One of those guys you're going to look up and see he's 7 years in the league and you forgot he was there.
FIU, right?
Yeah.
Killed a program. Killed a big-time program.
Who?
FIU beat Miami, right?
I thought you said they beat a big-time program.
No, I'm saying it used to be.
It used to be
big-time. My bad.
Yeah.
Well, let me throw this idea out here. Let's say we get to round five.
Okay.
And Jalen Hurts is still on the board.
He ain't going to still be on the board.
You don't think so?
No, heck no.
If Jalen Hurts is on the board round three, get him.
Yes. Jalen Hurts is gone at latest middle of round three. At the latest. And if there ends up being – if it is four quarterbacks in the first round, he may come off in round two. May come off early in round two. Somebody could trade up for him. I wouldn't be mad at Hurts in round three. In fact, hear me out. You could make a case that Hurts and Minshew are similar enough where it could work.
The ability to improvise in the pocket, mm-hmm. One actually has better arm strength than the other, but I can understand that. I think Hurts has better arm strength than Minshew. I can't forget some of the stuff I've seen.
Yeah, no, you're probably right. I mean, it's not – if there's a knock on Hurts, that's probably it, right?
I mean, I thought he had a – I mean, he's always throwing on the run. Like, that's in a rope. Like, that's got to be worth something, right? I mean, you would know better than me.
Yeah, no, maybe I'm wrong. I don't think.
I thought his accuracy would be what you'd knock.
Yeah, maybe so. He was pretty accurate at Oklahoma. I'm looking up.
The problem was he didn't have, I mean, Oklahoma, his yards had to be double what they were in Alabama.
I'm looking up what people are saying about him, which is probably the wrong thing to do.
Well, for the Jags in the draft, do you think we should be worrying about quarterback at least early if you're saying Minshew's your guy?
Who said Minshew's your guy?
Well, I mean, you trade Nick Foles. I'm assuming me, just personally, that you're saying
Minshew's
your guy for this year.
Minshew is not Mrs. Right.
Right.
He's Mrs. Right now.
Right.
Have fun. Enjoy yourself. See where it goes.
Go out a couple times.
You know, take her for pizza. Movie, like, don't get, you know, make her go to the movie with you. Don't wait 90 days.
I don't have that problem anymore.
And then see where it goes from there. And then, you know, maybe she can become the one, but you doubt it. There's a new draft class that comes every year on the year.
Man, I'm reading this. This is from back in February. who is it that said this? Todd McShay sees Hurts as a day three prospect. Well, that's about right, right? I mean, that's fourth round.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because second and third is day two, right?
Yeah. It says third round could be a ceiling. But you have to factor in how Mayfield and Murray's seasons went. They looked impressive. Oh, this is from last year. No?
Well, Lance Zierlein, I don't know how you guys want to take this, but he came out with a comparison of Jalen Hurts. Do you want to know who he compared him to?
Yeah.
Tim Tebow.
Oh.
That's not. Like, does he like him?
Overview. Like Tim Tebow, Hurts is a winning dual-threat quarterback known for his strength, toughness, and character. Hurts is a more accurate passer and better runner than Tebow, but is inconsistent as a decision-maker and tends to break the pocket when throws are to be made. His deep ball touch and intermediate accuracy improved this year, so teams may see him as a developmental talent who will keep getting better in the right scheme. He'll struggle to beat NFL defenses from the pocket, but his ability to grind out yards on the ground and make off-schedule plays should make him a solid backup with upward mobility.
I have a new 8 o'clock along these lines. We just got a text from 962. Jalen has great arm strength, and he attaches a YouTube video. So I'm thinking, well, I'll click on the YouTube video because I don't want to be wrong on the radio, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm quoting him exactly. Jalen has great arm strength. The YouTube video consists of two things. One, him squatting. And the only football highlight they show is from a spring game at Alabama in which he throws, you ready for this? A 12-yard touchdown on the run. How does that show me he's got great arm strength?
Maybe he's fitting it in to a spot.
No.
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 Not that.
Like, just because you can squat. I know a lot of linemen that can squat a lot of weight. They don't have good arm strength.
That was when I remember watching the Oklahoma thing, because Oklahoma made a big deal about it. And I'm like, that's not a credit to your strength program. That's a credit to
Alabama's
strength program.
He was there like 2 weeks.
Yeah, let's be honest with that. But I have a problem with quarterbacks training like other positions. Like, you're training like a lineman. Like, Jameis, the problem I have with Jameis Winston's workout regimen is that it looks good if I was a boxer in the 80s.
Or a middle school player in Philly.
Or if my uncles took me outside and said, hey, we're going to do a workout. Like, that's what it looks like. I mean, that's dope. That's not what a professional quarterback does. Not saying they don't squat. Not saying they don't do bench. Not saying they don't do things. They just don't do those things because there's a lot more bad that could come from it. That was Tim Tebow's problem. If you want me to be 100%, 1,000% yep. with you about Tebow, Tebow probably was too strong.
No, he was.
If Tebow spent more time working on his flexibility, his mobility and range of motion, Tim Tebow probably would be a more fluid athlete, which could translate into being a better quarterback or a better baseball player, whichever one he wanted to be. But he was a big, strong, athletic enough guy that got around a bunch of studs.
962 said it was the wrong video, and then he sends me
the correct one?
His combine video. Listen, I know the guy that trained Jalen. All right. I'm not talking about his combine video.
Like, I think Jalen's got a pretty good.
Everybody except for Jake Fromm can throw the ball a long way at a combine. I don't know. I mean, he doesn't have Justin Herbert's arm. I'll put it that way. I know that. They're comparing him to?
Who?
Taysom Hill.
The guy who's done nothing?
Done nothing.
But I mean, you know, he's the next great thing. Is this Taysom, or was he wasn't a free agent this year? Yeah. You got a trade for him.
Yeah, the Saints locked him up, right? Am I wrong on that?
I don't know. That's what I was asking.
I'm trying to go to the Google, but it's not letting me. Oh, great. Now my computer just completely froze up, RJ. Mm. Completely froze up.
It's RJ's fault.
N-I-T. Dang it, RJ.
Why you always got to blame something on me? I'm just sitting here. Now I'm looking it up for you guys. Why always blame me?
Jeez.
What did I blame you for, RJ? Blamed you for something the other day. I said if we didn't.
Yeah, the Starbucks thing?
Oh, yeah. Starbucks stayed open. That's right. You're good.
Well, we got to take a break anyway. Now's a good time.
I should have said my 8 o'clock was not understanding the geography and that you're not in the West Coast anymore.
Who?
You know, Mike Leach got himself into a little bit of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about Mike Leach coming up next.
One, three, that's mine. 1010XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Before we get to Mike Leach, Jameis Winston back in the news today.
For the marriage?
Marriage.
He got married. He finally married that girl. Made her an honest one.
No, that's not what he's in. He did something good, I guess. Yes, it's good.
Dang.
What?
The marriage wasn't good?
No.
I just
Your boy got creative.
Okay.
And he set up a free nationwide COVID-19 hotline.
I'm sure somebody's going to bash him about this.
Winston, along with Dr. David Kelly, has set up a national hotline to answer questions regarding people who fear they may have COVID-19. Callers to 844-TEST-COVID will get a free assessment and guidance regarding next steps based on the information provided. Is Jameis answering the phone?
I hope not.
His trainer?
I hope somebody professional is doing it.
I don't know who Dr. David Kelly is, but I'm sure it's above board. Good
I
job.
Mean, he'll see the phone a lot better now thanks to that LASIK surgery.
Fair.
Mm.
Facts.
Mm. Believe it's important to come together and support one another in time of need, Winston explains. We want to give every family rapid responses to give them peace of mind from the safety of their own home.
Well, look at there.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Jameis. Good work. So what did Mike Leach do?
Well, Mike Leach is the king of funny memes, or interesting memes. He always posts something. I think he forgot where he was at.
Okay.
So he posted a meme of, you know, bored during Corona, essentially. The wife is going to knit her husband a scarf. And it shows her sitting there, and she's, like, knitting, but it's a noose.
Oh, no.
So he posted it. Obviously, it got to the right people. The right people told him he apologized. I believe he's sorry. I accept this one. I don't believe he's dumb. I also don't believe he's racist. But he has to also understand the context and where he's at. And the crazy part is you should see the people actually just defending him, like, to where he doesn't owe an apology. Like, somebody actually tweeted this. More white people were hung in America than black people.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is why? Like, it's just don't, like, it's no need to. He's even said that he was wrong. Like, just don't. Like, just let it ride.
But white people can't be mad about the tweet?
No. The person wasn't mad about the tweet. But
by saying that, what you're basically saying is.
No, what it's basically is like what people feel the need to do when something might be racist, which, again, I don't believe Mike Leach is racist.
Right.
They have to go above and beyond to defend it with rhetoric that might make you sound a little worse. Because a lot of people had to come in. Were those white people hung for X, Y, Z, a bunch of different reasons. But the thing is this. Why is it a big deal? Probably Mike Leach does this. And there's football going on. He still gets it. But out in Washington, where this, who knows?
I don't even
know
Washington. Hear about it.
Yeah, I don't even know Washington history. But in Mississippi, in the Deep South, if you've listened to this show from the beginning, there are two places in America that, like, you almost got me to go to one. If that would have came through with Saban,
oh yeah,
I'd have went to Alabama for the bread. Mm. But Alabama and Mississippi are two places that if you ever see me there, it's either a lot of money on the table or I'm kidnapped. Mm. Studying history, I'm sorry. I know great people from those states. Mm-hmm. My head coach was from Bama.
But you may take a wrong turn somewhere.
But, yeah, I'm terrified. I know you could tell me one friend from Bama said, hey, there's places in Florida like that. I said, you know what, though? I know Florida. I know where I'm not supposed to go. I don't know nothing about the geography of mm-hmm. Bama, Mississippi. All I know is the movies that I've seen. I know Mississippi Burning. I know Kid Whistled. I know a whole bunch of stuff that terrifies me to this day, and it was not that long ago. Again, I am sure there are great people there. But I do know this. It has to do with nooses. That's a big part of the reason why. So, but again, I think he made a misstep.
Well, let me ask you this, because Feinbaum talked about it on a show, and I'm not sure that I don't. I think I may agree with this. Feinbaum said, "Yeah, I would say that it may end up just being a blip. Now, if we weren't going through what we are currently going through, I think he would be in trouble, because some of the things that were said about him on National Programs Friday were downright scary." But I think the audience for national sports right now is so minimized and marginalized that I suspect that Leach will survive this. If we weren't going through this coronavirus thing, I think Feinbaum may be right.
I don't know. I think it's the opposite. I think a tremendously slow news cycle makes it where we may be focusing on it more than what we would have.
What's a slow news cycle?
Like, we don't have anything else to talk about with sports. Like, well, if we had.
Oh, but there's so few people talking about sports.
But what I'm saying
right
is, right now, we're in April. We would be in the middle of spring ball. Like, now, I will say this. Actually, now that I think about it, though, with beat writers, with people actually being at spring, this being his first spring, actually, this probably would have been really, really. This would have been a SID's nightmare. Maybe this is. Actually, I agree with you now. Because he would have had a lot more attention on
him. I sincerely regret if my choice of images in my tweets were found offensive. I had no intention of offending. I love how he said, I sincerely regret if my choice of images.
It's just, well, he's awkward, is all good.
As a result, one of his defensive linemen entered the transfer portal after seeing
offensive
the tweet.
Offensive lineman. Guard.
Fabian Levette?
He's an offensive guard, 6'3". I'm pretty sure it's an offensive guard.
And why do they have him listed as a defensive lineman?
Nah, but or maybe it was more than one. I know somebody immediately hit, and I had a great one with that. So I just guess he didn't want to hang around.
The views expressed are not necessarily.
Wow.
But, I mean, it's just, I mean, it was, like I said, it was interesting. You know, but that's what you're getting with him. And the craziest thing, actually, you know what? Then it may or may not have, but you know where it would have been, where it would be a bigger issue right now? Had FSU went and signed him.
Why
a bigger because it's a bigger program. That's a lot that people actually care about. Mississippi State, like Dan Mullen will go down as the greatest coach. No offense to Dan Mullen, but he never went over the top there. He did very well though, but like if you're at Florida State, you're at Florida, you're even at Miami. That's not going to fly very well, especially coming if you went to Florida State following a black coach. That would have been even worse.
The name you were looking for, James, was Brevin Jones. That was the offensive lineman.
Okay, all right. So there's two players. So, again, we're going to see an effect. These guys didn't get recruited by him. They don't care about him. I need the guy who actually was good, the five-star offensive tackle, Charles Cross, to go ahead and hit the transfer portal. And come on back to Florida State.
He tweets a lot, and he tweets a lot of funny stuff.
I like his tweets. I like him. I like him.
But
I think he's smarter than what he – I think he's smart enough to know where he messed up at.
Yeah, he knew it when he did it, man. I mean, you can't – where's Mike Leach originally from? Do you know?
I don't know.
Let's look on his Wikipedia here. Find out where – Mike Leach actually hails from. Now, you know you've done some stuff when. Oh, hold on.
I guess Dom gets another one right there. While you're looking at that, Dom's filling out sports then bingo cards. Show stops for a Google search.
Oh.
RJ plays wrong song at the end. James gets two different sports mixed up. Denny gets flustered by something on the text line. Someone brings you guys food. You tease something and actually remember to talk about it. That one's got to be like the middle star.
Oh, hey. No, you know what? Okay, he was born in California. So he may not know anything about this. Susanville, California.
Where is that?
Mm-hmm. Susanville, Northeastern California.
Yeah, so I'm guessing it's a couple of hours from San Francisco. It's 9 hours from my hometown, so.
I mean, I know he likes Key West.
High Desert State Prison is there.
That's where everybody works.
I guess. Wow, there's a lot of correctional institutions there. It was actually, there was a documentary called Prison Town USA that were there. That was there. Nearly half the adult population of Susanville works at the three prisons in the area. Fascinating. Oh, Mike Leach, man. You gotta do better than that. Gotta do better than that. I mean, he is a pirate guy. Did pirates use nooses?
No, they make you walk the plank.
Right, that's right. I don't know my pirate history at all.
I mean, it was a lot of ways to make that joke. I get where he was coming from, though.
Right. Wife is sick of the husband.
Yeah. I got the premise.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. Let's take our final break. When I get back, like, we actually have dates of a sporting event in America that is coming. Like, the first one that's actually set a date, other than UFC saying we're still fighting in April. Golf has set some dates. We'll talk about that coming up next.
I tell you the difference between me and them. They're trying to get the ones and trying to get the man.
1010XL. Join us in the Sports Den. Call or text 641-1010.
Wrapping up the Monday night edition of the Sports Den.
Did we tease anything or are we just saying we're
Yeah, the PGA up? Tour.
Oh, yeah.
Why, you got something?
Nah, it's just funny. PGA Tour is more pressing. We need to know about this. What's going on? What are we swinging at?
Well, the day started with the British Open announcing it has canceled the 2020 tournament. And then the PGA Tour put out a revised schedule. And they're saying that U.S. Open where'd this go? Oh, okay, here's the Masters, they're saying, is to play the week of November 9th through 15th.
Is that rivalry weekend? Not FSU, no. Florida, but like the weekend, the big football weekend.
No, because that's usually Thanksgiving.
No, there's one earlier, like the Red River.
That's October.
Yeah, there's a weekend like that where everybody plays.
The Masters will do numbers no matter what it's against. U.S. Open was scheduled for June 18th. Its new date is September 17th through 20th. And the PGA Championship is August 6th. August 6th, man, that is still a long time away. Now, I'm sure they're going to play events before. They're not saying that that's the first event they're going to play. But they're certainly ruling out the U.S. Open being played June 15th, which is still a month and a half away.
Does it give you any hope?
Over 2 months away.
Does it give you any hope, however, if the PGA Tour is willing to come out and say, we're going to play on these dates that maybe other professional sports will say, you know what, we'll come back later in the year?
No, because you know what the PGA Tour can do? Cancel them. I think it's smart to be like – to be the first sport to actually announce dates is a really smart thing because we're talking about something we never talk about on the Sports Den. But the goat at all this, without a shadow of a doubt, is the NFL because the NFL has done nothing. The NFL's like, bump y'all, and your advanced scouting. We're doing our draft, and all of you will be watching. And we will.
And you know who's done the craze? They've taken it to the next level. I'm sure Jags will be late to the party, but the Redskins are hosting a virtual party. Virtual draft party. And engagement.
Why?
Because people would do it. You know why? What do I know? 265,000 people watched. I have no idea.
What is this? What are you playing?
Quiet Storm Hour? Thought you guys knew this. Apparently not. Should have played something else.
I don't even know what I was talking about.
The Redskins, 265,000 people did what?
Watched T-Pain and Lil Jon
play a song. I saw everybody tweet about that.
Which was amazing. It was like, just play that playlist when everybody forgets it's free at a club and it's going to like do numbers.
All right, we're going to wrap it up. Tomorrow night's our well-deserved night off after one night. We'll be back on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. Gator Bites tomorrow, 10:30, by the way. If you want to check in Facebook Live on the 1010XL Florida Gators Facebook page. We'll talk to you guys on Wednesday night. Y'all have a good evening.